Check. Is it good? All right. I just want to say, who does that? Like, in the world, they would, something like that would happen to somebody, and they would just leave their family, or the people behind. Like, Frank, of all people, comes, and he, all that happens, and then he comes back to here, a small little town, a small group of people, and then shows us, you know, just a blessing, you know, amazing PowerPoint, and it's all for the glory of God, not for himself. The world would take that and say, look at me, look what I did. I'm this great person. And, you know, Frank just turns it around and gives glory to God. So that's our attitude. You know, that's definitely, you know, convicting me. It's like, you know, we need to give all the glory to God in every situation. But he that is faithful, I was thinking this right when I heard this, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. You know, Frank, you know, Lord's, we hear all sorts of stories with Frank, and there's small stories, but he's faithful in those little things. And Lord put something in his hands that, he, you know, Lord knew that he was going to do it for him and then give him the glory in the end. So it's just, I think that's just a great example of that verse right there. So praise the Lord as a blessing. I'm definitely not near as good of a presenter as Frank, so just bear with me. I almost failed speech class. I think I told you that before. But we'll get through it. We'll get through it. So apparently, I guess, a couple years ago, a group from the Bible Baptist Church of DeLand, which believes just like we do, they're an independent Baptist church, they love the Lord, just a little more people, but it's still right down the line, believing the same, it's a blessing, how much in common we have with them. A group of people started going to do these mission trips to Latin, you know, speaking Latin countries, or Spanish-speaking countries. They went to Mexico first, then last year they went to Ecuador, and then this year they decided they're going to go to Colombia. And I got invited to this one, and I was like, well, why don't we go? You know, and I talked to Sammy about it. I had no idea what I was getting into. There's, why don't we go? And then, so we are getting to go on this Colombia mission trip. Now, I have no idea what to expect, no idea what's going to go on. They had two contacts there in Colombia. Brother Fabio Carbajo on the left, that's his wife, Sister Diana, and he's a national pastor there in Colombia. In Medellin, which is like the second largest city in Colombia, they have a church. It's like a suburb of that city. It's called Copacabana. They have a church there. He was born and raised there. I guess he was going to be a Catholic priest, but he ends up reading the Bible and finds out that the Catholics are wrong just from reading the Bible. He's like, they're not teaching the Bible. And then he he ends up being a Bible believer in the Spanish speaking country. He believes the word of God and he preaches it just like we do here. And then Brother Marco Perez is another contact we had there. He is actually a missionary to Colombia from New York, but his parents are from Colombia, but he got adopted here in the States. And so he's one of the translators that we had there. And he's also a pastor of a church in Montenegro, Colombia, which is about 7 hours away from Copacabana, the other place where we were at. So these are the two main locations where we're at, and they're all in these mountains. Really beautiful area. You think you were in like North Georgia or something because there's like clay colored ground, but there's mountains coming up, and it's a beautiful country, close to the equator, so it's the same all year round, cooler than it is here in Florida, not too cold. At nighttime it gets kind of cool, so you got to put a jacket on, but it's like that all year round, which is amazing. This is Brother Rosendo on the right and his wife, Pita. He's kind of like the leader of the group. He's been kind of leading these mission trips. He did a lot of the translation of some of the books that they write there at the School of the Bible. He translates a lot of those. So he was also one of our translators when we were doing the preaching and stuff at the churches. So primarily we were going to be an encouragement to these churches here, in these two churches, and try to help them with their mission, bring some gospel tracts and do some preaching and bring some books. And we find out, like, I think the day before that, oh, no, yeah, they're having a Bible conference and you guys are the preachers. It was like, what? What's going on? So that's Brother Rosendo. This is the whole group. There is seven guys, six girls. The six gringos were asked to, you know, preach at least twice at the churches. And then Rosendo, he just kind of translated for us. And the other, Marco, also was another translator. These are just some pictures of everybody, all the people getting crammed in a bus up there. Some more pictures of people. So first we went to Copacabana. We landed in Medellin and drove to Copacabana. Driving is insane. like you don't even know how it's working, but it's working, and people are going ways that are, you know, okay, there's a road there, I guess you can go like that, and people are crossing, and so, but they don't get in wrecks. I didn't see any crazy wrecks. You know, bikes are flying by while you're driving down the road and stuff. We have like some short clips of bikes just boom and cars going everywhere. Way worse than it is here, I didn't see any wrecks at all on the road. So Fabio's church, and that's his son Andres actually preaching for the first time, you know, doing street preaching. I think it might have been the first time in one of the cities there. This is the church in Copacabana, so it's pretty much like a garage. That's what they have. They open up these big doors and they slide off to the side, and it's just a garage open to the outside. And then they put a bunch of seats in there, and it's, you know, maybe just not even half this, you know, half like a quarter of this whole entire space that we're sitting in right now, and then open to the outside. And it got so packed Sunday morning that they started putting chairs, as you can see, chairs out in the streets, and they put cars on either side of the chairs so the people would, you know, cars would drive around and not hit the people. But it was that many people showed up, and that many people were interested in, you know, what they were preaching about, what we were talking about. So we had, we got there Friday. Right after we got back, they had a preaching on Friday night by Brother Marco. Saturday, one of the brothers from DeLand preached. Sunday, it was Chandler and then myself. We preached Sunday morning. And as they said, Sunday morning, there was ended up being like 115 people that showed up. And then some people, I think even some people from the ministry, because I think on Saturday we went street preaching. And some girls, like three girls from Venezuela that heard the preaching, they actually came from the street preaching to the church, and they end up getting saved. I think, I don't know if you have the picture of those three girls later on. Yeah, and they end up getting saved. So praise the Lord that, you know, hey, it works, you know, preaching the gospel. That's what they did in the Old Testament. They did in the New Testament. We do it today, and it works. There's a little Sunday school class on the right. One of the sisters from DeLand kind of helped with some songs. They learned, like, Who's the King of the Jungle and some songs like that. They had fun learning some, like, English songs, too. Really good. Some more people from the church. On the right, they had like a ladies' Bible study one day during the week. It was really good. And then this is the street ministry over in Montenegro. My brother's preaching in Spanish there. There's the other guy on the left preaching in Spanish. And then on the right, it's almost like a Hebrew Israelite person that thinks, it's almost just like here, you have the Hebrew Israelites who think that, you know, if you're not a Jew, you can't be saved. And he's like in this full dress. You know, so you have the crazy, you know, all sorts of religions there too, and Sulemi is actually the one on the one over here on the right. She was really bold in witnessing, and she doesn't speak much English, but she's learning English, but she was really bold in, like, you know, talking to people. And I mean, when you're watching, like, we're all going out there preaching the gospel, and people are just, you know, passing out tracts. I think we have more people passing out tracts. You know, we're holding signs, and they're going out in groups, like, just. So I gotta kind of explain how the layout is. In Latin America, every city has a main square, like a big town square thing. And at that town square, there's always a Catholic church. And everybody just goes to the town square just to hang out, and they don't really have anything to do. They're just sitting at the town square. So that's where we go street preach, right? That's where they go and they pass out tracts, just like we do here. They'll go there and they talk to people. They walk all around the park. People are just sitting down and doing nothing. And they don't get mad at you. They're asking what you're talking about. People are just taking tracks left and right. People are coming up to you, asking you for more tracks. I had cars stop on the road to, you know, wave you down to give you a gospel track. Bikes, people pull up in bikes just to stop, and they sit there. And they're not just taking these tracks, but they're like opening up and they're reading them. And you'll look out like across the park, and you'll see, you know, 10, 20 people they're all just reading these little booklets, you know, that have the gospel in them. Like, I think we had a lot of those chick tracks that were really good, and people, you know, were just reading the gospel. It was a blessing. There's a little girl on the left from the church there holding a sign in Spanish. In the middle, this is really cool. This lady has a basket that she, the next picture probably shows it again. Yeah, she has this basket. I guess, I don't know what she uses it for, like food and stuff, but she was waving us down, and she wanted a gospel track, so she puts a basket down. And then Sister Sandy went and put a gospel tract in this little basket. She takes it up and starts reading it. So it was really cool, really awesome. My brother there, again, witnessing little like teenagers talking to you about the gospel, wanting to know more about Jesus Christ. Like, what are you talking about? You know, here, people are just so hardened. It's just such a different reception to just anything, I guess I would say, outside of what they're just, they're, you know, we're just so full of stuff and we don't want to listen to anything else. But teenagers, they're actually at a skate park. They're all sitting up on this big, and they start coming down and talking to Brother Pat here, and we're giving them all gospel tracts. Like, where does that happen in here in America? It doesn't happen like that. It's just a blessing. Definitely good to brush up on Spanish. I did not know any going in, hardly at all. I can say hola and adios and cómo estás, you know, how are you doing? But I learned some phrases, you know, how to ask people certain things, but mainly I try to, you know, get the translators there so they could, you know, and they would end up kind of taking it over. So then you just go and get other conversations and then bring them in. So when we were in Copacabana, then we went to the main city, Medellin. So in Copacabana, it's a pretty big city itself, but it's a suburb of Medellin. But it's just packed, you know, cars always going, there's tons of people there. And, you know, it seems like it's a pretty densely populated area. And then you go to Medellin, and it's like, I don't know, I guess I've never been to New York, but it's like what I imagine. It's like the French Quarter or something, you go, but there's just tons of people walking all over the place. Everybody's walking. And so you get a lot of foot traffic, so you're able to get a lot more conversations. We went there, I don't know how many tracks we brought, you know, multiple suitcases of tracks. We're just flying through tracks. We had to be careful about how many tracks were just, we were giving out so many tracks that we might not have had any for the next church we were going to go and visit. So we had to, like, okay, we'll set these aside for the other church so we don't pass out all the tracks when we go to the next church. Again, there's we went to a bridge where they're holding signs there. So that was all in Copacabana, Medellin, with Brother Fabio, and they had, for 3 nights we had the preaching of the, you know, at the church, and, you know, singing hymns just like we sing here, just in Spanish. So you know the tunes, just like we were singing today. We just want to show you. Those are songs that we were singing on the street and stuff. We were singing in the church. And you know the tunes, so you can kind of, you know, make your way through the song. Even though you don't know the words, they had, like, the words up there. And then we went to, from there, we took a 7-hour bus ride at night. It would have been probably 12 hours during the daytime, just with the traffic and stuff, on, like, a two-way road on a bus at night. Definitely scary. The guy is passing up, and he's in a bus, a huge bus, like one of those ones where you can recline in, and it's really long. And he's passing up cars on this, you know, one-way road, you know, going to oncoming traffic. It was definitely, and you're on a windy road going through the mountains, so it was scary. But we went there, and again, we did a similar thing where they announced the Bible conference. We had to be ready. With the Bible conference thing, I don't think any of us were really prepared. Like, oh, they're wanting us to, you know, to preach. We thought we were just going to go and try to, you know, help out what we can with the churches, but they wanted us to preach at the churches. And so we had to, like, hurry up and get something ready. Everybody was, you know, we're up late at night trying to study for our messages that we're supposed to be preaching. And then we went to the downtown. There's the downtown square. We're in part of it, on one corner of it. And it, I think Sammy has I think we have a picture in here of the Catholic church on the other side. Because at one point they had a parade for Mary. I'll show you that later. There's Brother Marco at in the church. This is just something they have on the wall. It's a tract that actually we hand out sometimes that actually have a big banner. I think Brother Micah has one too. And there's the preaching in the church. It's a small church. This one's similar. The whole wall doesn't open up, but they open up like the windows and stuff. And then no air conditioning. I forgot to mention that. No air conditioning because I guess they don't need it. It's not hot. It doesn't get really hot. And everywhere you go, it's always the same temperature inside buildings, outside of buildings. There was maybe one building, like a big mall, that had like some air conditioning, I remember. But otherwise, everything's open to the outside. It's definitely different. No mosquitoes or nothing. Here's some of the people again in this church. Brother Marco Perez's church. He actually supports other people. It's pretty cool. I'll kind of talk about that a little more. But he supports other people in other churches. The Pat, they're just a blessing. You know, they love the Lord just like we do. Their people are serving the Lord. We're getting good conversations. This is still in Montenegro. And it's a little bit smaller than the other city we were in. But, we're still, again, just like the same, there's always a square in the middle of the town and everybody just goes to this town square and you get to just pass out tracts and talk to them and nobody's, you know, cussing you out. You don't got people flicking you off like you do here. It's a lot different, a lot nicer. Makes you, you know, really, So there's, again, some more of the signs. There's the group, we're all singing a song, singing hymns. A couple of the songs he had to sing, they weren't even tunes that we knew. And we didn't even have, it was just a pamphlet that they printed out. So they had these printouts. And so we were trying to sing along, you know. We thought that we were going to go sing some songs we knew, but it'd be in Spanish so we could at least make our way through it. But we didn't even know the tune, so that was pretty interesting, you know. There's my brother getting a good conversation. He knows a little bit more Spanish, so he was able to get some pretty good conversations with people. And there's, it looks like some people praying. You see on the benches, there's people reading the gospel tracts. Brother Fabio, people talking, witnessing to people. And in Montenegro, we also did went to the nursing home ministry that they had there, and try to be a blessing to the older people there. And they did a bowling thing. They had all the guys present their testimonies for a few minutes, but it was a really cool ministry. I like how they did. You know, they got them involved with the bowling, and we all bowled too. And then we got to give our testimony to the people there and try to help out. We were just trying to be an encouragement to the church there, but they ended up being more of a blessing to us than we were to them. You know, we went to go be a blessing, and we got just such a blessing from going there. Those are the two main churches, but Brother Fabio, the national pastor, he also has kind of started other churches and also helped out, kind of build up some other churches in the area. And one of them was, we went up a mountain, maybe 15 minutes away, and they have this church in the bottom left, church in the mountains, and it's at someone's house that they have this church, and they had us preach there. But it was a beautiful area, you know. That was it was really nice. Who preached there? Brother Pat preached there. There were some girls that looked like some people didn't have their Bibles, so I guess there's a lack of, you know, literature and having physical copies of the Word of God. So we brought some Bibles there for those churches. They used the 1865 Reina Valera. And there's another church that Brother Fabio started. And in the bottom right, in between my brother and Pat, right there, this guy on the side, he's now the pastor of this church. It's about 45 minutes away from Copacabana. But they're growing. We went to that church, and there's my brother preaching in the top left corner in the church. That one's a little different. Well, it's similar to the first one where you open up the whole wall, but actually had two walls opened up right to the side of, a downhill slope mountain thing. And so it was definitely really weird. On the very corner, you have this, you're having church, and you're blasting out, a hymn singing into the neighborhoods. But it was, and you get to hear the preaching of the gospel. So people definitely in the town get to hear preaching, of the Word of God. Some more pictures of the people there, preaching and singing hymns. I was going to put a video in here, but I didn't get it in there. We did some specials in Spanish and English, kind of like we just did. Some more hymn singing. And then the food. So definitely some different kind of fruits. There's a yellow dragon fruit. They had fried stuff everywhere. Everything was fried, greasy, or baked, or something. Bread and meat. It's good. I love bread and cheese and meat. It's perfect. I definitely loved it. This girl in the middle, we went to a mall in Medellin. And this girl in the middle right behind, Devin took the picture just so he can get a picture of the lady, because he didn't want to be I don't know why he didn't just get a picture of her. But she was, everywhere we went, we get in these conversations where someone, they don't really know. They're like, what are you? They never heard something like it before, and they're wanting to know more. And so we bring, one of the pastors from wherever we were at there, and he would talk to them, and they'd, be really, really excited and surprised to hear something that, this the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so she was one of them that received it and was, really thankful that we had just given her a gospel tract and that we talked to her about. It's just, when does that happen? But it was happening, every day you get something like that would happen, where you conversations that people were just wanting to know more about Jesus Christ and wanting to hear, because all they're full with is religion, and they don't have the true gospel and the Word of God being preached there. So you have more food, fried stuff. Everything was crazy cheap, less than $3, I think, for a big meal for dinner, the biggest meal you can get, less than $3. Breakfast was less than $2. Coffee was great, you know. So it's definitely a nice area with the weather and the food being, you know, cheap. Everything being cheap. In the top left corner, we got into the metro, which is like the subway, and man, you get packed in there, and you're like, you know, you're crammed. And then the doors open up, no one leaves, but more people try to come in, and you're like, there's no way. There's no way. And then so yeah, cause they'll just people just start charging in and try to dive into the subway or you know the metro, and we're so Sister Pita took the picture and she's like trying to get her phone out. She's trying to wiggle. She got a picture of the thing. I wasn't able to get my phone out, but that was just another interesting thing that happened. If you look in the middle there, I got a couple pictures of this, but this is just we went up into this kind of lift thing, and you can kind of see over the city. And you're looking out, there's just millions and millions of people, thousands upon thousands of houses, and they build up, like they just build their houses on top of the houses. Everywhere you could look between these mountains and these mountain ranges, as far as you could see, you just see brick, you know, and that's what they're using. Just thousands of people, you know, hardly any of them, you know, probably know Jesus Christ or saved. You know, we don't know, but there's just, you know, these are just two Bible-believing, Bible-preaching pastors, and there's a couple of other churches that we visited. That for these thousands and thousands of people, just in one city, and there's how many more just in Colombia, and then across the whole South America, and then look around the whole world. When you're just looking out, you're just like, one person can't do that. You know, you need the body of Christ, and you need to multiply, and it's just, you know, you really get burdened just to see all that, all those people there, and how many of them don't know Christ. Is our brother talking to a guy that, you know, he's really grateful. He actually came back and talked to my brother some more on the left, bottom left. Talked to him more about the gospel and got information down for him so he can go to the church there in, I think that was in Montenegro. Those are the three girls actually that got saved. Well, the one in the red is a member of the church there, but the other three girls there are the ones from Venezuela that came to church after preaching and then end up trusting Jesus Christ as their Savior. So praise the Lord for that. In the top right is actually where they baptize people. You can't really see it, but there's like a pool. There's a pool way back there in the back, and that's where the church in Copacabana takes the people there to, you know, to baptize them right in the river there. It's pretty cool. On top of the houses, you'll see all sorts of graffiti everywhere. There's a iguana Sammy took a picture of, and then there's this giant cross. You know, they had crosses in places, but I mean, you know, what is it? It's just a symbol. It's just an idol, maybe. You know, they just worship it. They don't worship the God, you know, the Savior, Jesus Christ, as a whole. I'm sure there are some people who are, but, you know, they have the cross there, and at nighttime it lights up red. There's some more pictures of the people there. There's a payphone. Let's see. Oh, yeah, in the bottom right, apparently, this is like a lake, and if you look in the lake and you're not married and you see a heart, then you're going to get married. Or something like that in a year. I don't know what it was about. So Sammy put a heart there as a joke. We sent that to the group. It's kind of funny. And all the single guys were like, hey, come look at this. No. And then the Mary worship, of course. Ignore the picture in the top right. Sammy put that. But they had a parade for Mary. Like people were walking around, making noise, and just walking through, and they have just Mary, and then obviously a tiny little baby Jesus, right? Because Mary's the big one, Mary's the exalted one, and Jesus is not. But they're just worshiping this idol. We went there, and what was weird that when I went to pass out tracts at that time, it seemed like people were a little more, like they weren't receptive at that time. Just some reason, you know, just the spirit, I guess, there. They just didn't want the tracts, some of them, most of them. As a whole, though, when you're passing out gospel tracts there, it was like 90% reception or more. You know, they're hardly ever. I think I only saw two tracks maybe on the ground, whereas here you pass out tracks, half of them or more are going to be on the ground at an event or something like that. But, you know, people coming out of the Catholic Church taking tracks. This silver statue on the bottom right is another statue of Mary, but it has a good saying on it. It talks about, you know, it's like reaping and sowing, but then it puts Mary, like it describes it to Mary. So it's like, okay, yeah, no, well, God said that, you know, why don't you give God the glory instead of, like, why are they, it's just like they want to make everything about Mary. And I think that's it. All right. So it was a blessing. Definitely, I would, you know, encourage anybody, if they have any opportunity to go on a mission trip like that or something, any mission trip, just to go and see what a blessing you get from, you know, going on something like that. It was a, you know, I just give God all the glory for that. All right, so let's turn your Bibles to Amos chapter 8. We'll just look at a couple of verses just to go right along with, I think, you know, what was said about Columbia and what I saw there and here and something that the Lord laid on my heart with that. Definitely reception to the truth, but not much Bible preaching there at all. There was a time period in the past where they called the La Violencia, the violence, where the Catholic Church was persecuting people and burning Bibles because they didn't want people to have the Bible. You know, it's just crazy. And so you have religion. You have, I think, Brother Marco said that charismatics is actually they have a worse problem with charismatics than they do with the Catholics, because the charismatic people are coming into churches and then dividing the churches. You know, Catholics aren't trying to infiltrate other churches and stuff. So that's what he was saying about that. It's just kind of interesting, because you think that, you know, well, with Catholicism being there. So Amos chapter 8, verse 11 and 12. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro and seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it. Now, I know this is talking about maybe, you know, in the tribulation period or sometime there in the future, but just wanted to apply that to what I saw there. There was not, you don't have the word of God like we do here in America. And, you know, you got, there's churches everywhere, and, you know, they may not be having everything right, but at least they have the, you know, words from God somewhere, and at least you can hear the gospel. And, but there it was just, there's no Bible-believing, Bible-preaching churches, just those couple that we went to see. And, you know, they need help. You know, they need people there that are going to teach the word of God as it is. And but what's interesting is, though they lacked the word of God, they were more receptive to truth, to you know, gospel tracts, to talk when you talk to them. But here we have so much of the word of God everywhere, right? If you go up to the Bible Belt areas and stuff, but people are just so, you know, hardened to anything from God at all, and they just don't want to hear at all from the truth. So it's just kind of interesting that here, you know, we have it and people can get it so easily. But they're just so hardened against it, and they don't really have it. And giving them, they're hungry for anything. You're just holding your hand out with a pamphlet, and they're just, what is that? And they'll take it. You know, you have to tell them gratis, free, and they'll take the gospel tracts. It's just a different. Like, it's just weird just to see how different the truth is, I guess, received in a certain area. But ultimately, it's the individuals that have the choice. So, you know, though they're more open to taking it, each person has the choice to receive it or reject, you know, Jesus Christ as their Savior. But it's just interesting how you know, witnessing there is just so much different than witnessing here. And it would even be, I guess, people who have gone witnessing, you know, long ago in America, where people are taught the Bible, but the majority of people aren't saved, but they're open to talking about it. And they were, when you'd go door knocking, people would invite you in, and they would sit you down, and you'd get to talk to them about Jesus and stuff. And then something happened in, you know, America, where they just kept hardening their hearts against God and getting God out of anything they could. And then now, you know, people just don't even want to talk to you at all. You know, they close their ears, they harden their hearts. Along with that, Jeremiah chapter 10. I looked up pastors in the Bible, and I think I've done it before, I just don't remember that. 3 out of 9 references are actually good, which is kind of interesting. The others are all in a bad light because of what they end up doing. It's in the Old Testament, but primarily where the bad ones are. Chapter 10, verse 21. I guess you can look at verse 19. Woe is me for my hurt. My wound is grievous. There's sadness here, you see, from God. Verse 21. For the pastors are become brutish and have not sought the Lord. Therefore, they shall not prosper, and and all their flocks shall be scattered. We see in America, people are, they're flourishing, right? The false teachers or mega churches are huge, but they're not seeking after the Lord, and they've done that. We've done that for so many years, not seeking after the Lord, and now we're surprised that, America is so hardened against God's word, but people haven't been seeking after the Lord. They've been seeking after numbers, seeking after money, and we always talk here how thankful the Lord that, this church has not sought after those things. We've sought after the Lord and his word, and, we're still, no matter how many people come or don't come, they're still going to preach the same thing, and people want to hear it, praise the Lord, people don't, praise the Lord. But here you have pastors that are not seeking after the Lord, and that's the majority of what we have here in America. You have maybe what were good churches, but they weren't seeking after the Lord. And it starts with the leadership. If the leadership's not seeking after the Lord, it's going to be so hard for just one or two members that are seeking after the Lord for that to be the main thing in the church. That's going to dwindle down and be fizzled out because, they're messing with the flow of our church. So if the church is not seeking after, if the church as a whole and the leadership as a whole is not seeking after the Lord, then the rest of that church is not going to seek after the Lord. And then you have that at several, hundreds of churches all around America not seeking after the Lord. And in Colombia, at least you don't have people seeking after the Lord, but there's not that, okay, the general Christianity is not there like it is here in the sense, of biblical Christianity. And so you don't have, I guess, the same hurt that people have gotten from people, from churches not seeking after the Lord and then harming people by the result of that. If you're not seeking after the Lord, then man's becomes the focus. Man gets the glory, just like with Frank. He was seeking after the Lord in that whole, the whole time. He's seeking after the Lord. But if he was seeking after himself, he would get the glory in this time, but other people would be hurt by it. And Frank would be exalted, but it's always going to end up in someone else being harmed because we chose to seek after ourselves as opposed to seek after the Lord. Or we chose to exalt the church as opposed to exalting the Lord. And they need there, just like we do here, we need churches seeking after the Lord. And, not just sending, I know there's missionaries from, Mormon missionaries, there's Jehovah's Witness missionaries, there's all sorts of false teacher missionaries, but they're not seeking after the Lord. So it's not enough just to say, oh, yeah, we love the Lord and we're going to go start a church there. Well, is your church, seeking the Lord? And that's what I think, that's what they definitely need there is, good Bible preaching all around. People are trying, and they're trying, and they're spreading. What's cool is to see with Fabio is, he started this thing there, and it's just slowly spreading out. They're starting churches up with national pastors from Colombia, and they're leading those churches, and from there they're going out. So it's just really cool to see how the Lord's working there, and hear about other countries too like that. But that's all the more reason why we need to preach the Word of God ourselves. If you turn to Romans chapter 10, there's a lack of the Word of God, in our schools, lack of the Word of God in the world. But there's even lack of Word of God in churches now, unfortunately. But that doesn't lessen our duties. Chapter 10, verse 14, we know the passages here. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, verse 13. Verse 14, how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? Good question. How should they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So we need people to preach the Word of God. And it's not necessarily, stand up and yell. You can pass a gospel tract out. That's preaching the Word of God. Holding a sign is preaching the Word of God. Going door to door is preaching the Word of God. And we can't stop. We can't give up because, there's still people on their way to hell, still people that need Jesus Christ. And no matter how hardened their hearts are, they can still get saved. People still get saved today. I just heard about a girl at a youth rally or something getting saved. So people are still getting saved today. may not be as often, or maybe, you know, you don't see it as much. But I would even question those big mass people, groups of people getting saved. It's like, okay, well, you know, are they still serving the Lord today? Or did they just say they got saved and then go off into the world? So I, you know, even if it's just a few people, you know, hopefully those are, I'd rather just a few saved people that are genuine about it than a whole mass group of saved people that just go back off into the world and aren't living for the Lord. You know, we need to, even though there's a small group here, we can still, you know, serve the Lord and preach the gospel. And then, to go right along with that, 2 Timothy 4, this is, you know, I really like this passage here. I remember when I probably read it a bunch of times, but 2 Timothy, is it 4? 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy 4, verse number 2. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. So it may not feel like, you know, anything is being done, but we're supposed to be preaching the word. You know, it may not feel like there's much reception to Jesus Christ, but in season and out of season, preach the word. You know, whether you're in Colombia or you're here in America, you know, I was, you know, my heart was like, oh man, you know, I wanted to stay here because people are more receptive and it's like a white harvest field. But this says in season, out of season. So it may not be in season, like, you know, Brother Paul, he does, you know, he has the, you know, watermelons and things. There's a season where you start to harvest them, and there's seasons where you're not harvesting anything. So this is saying whether you're in season or out of season, we're supposed to be sowing the seed of the Word of God, whether or not we're reaping, you know, the harvest, whether or not we're seeing something grow and we're watering it, or wherever. We're supposed to be preaching the Word of God. So here or there, you know, we can be, it's a mission field everywhere we're at. You know, people need to hear the Word of God. It just may look different. May people get different responses, but it's all the same truth and the same gospel, and people will still get saved the same way. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Do this. It's not this.